I want to live in a world where gender isn't a deciding factor in opportunity. Hey, it's Vanessa Paisani, and you're listening to Amplified, the show where we're changing the stories we tell ourselves about women, and as a consequence, about men too. Because remarkable women aren't a supply problem. There's just so many of them out there, and I believe we need to hear from them. So that's where I come in. We'll also be chatting with some men about the topic as well, because we want to hear their stories on this too, especially why this topic is more important than ever. And to you, thanks for joining us each week for great conversations with remarkable folks and believing that remarkable women aren't a supply problem. Thanks so much for joining me for episode 6 of Amplified. This week we have the great pleasure of having a conversation with Christy Gray. I met Christy in 2012 through a program we did. It was an 8-month-long leadership program where we had the great pleasure of touring the province that we're from, New Brunswick, on a bus, which was amazing. We got to meet tons of influencers in many different sectors. And one of the things I always remember about Christy and every interaction, both during that program and since, is that she always thinks very deeply about whatever she's about to say. And I think you'll find that throughout this conversation, that is particularly true. Since I met Christy, she's gone on to complete a PhD. She's run a number of businesses. And she's also become a mom, which you'll hear a lot about through this interview, and how she's used her entrepreneurial streak to really embrace having difficult conversations, both with herself and with her son. Her new enterprise is distributing Barefoot Books, so her website, if you want to check it out, is barefootfamilies.com. And we'll hear a lot about how she uses books to prompt deeper thinking and having difficult conversations, both with herself and with her kids. You'll hear throughout this conversation how she utilizes books to prompt deeper thinking. I think that's such an insightful thing. I hope you enjoy this really frank and honest conversation with Christy as much as I did, and I'll see you on the other side of the episode. Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Christy. I've known you for a little bit of time now, and I know that you're always up to awesome things, and I see one of your latest projects is actually you launched your new business, and I know you've been in business for quite a while, but I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about what led you to starting this next adventure in business.
Oh, thank you, Vanessa. Thank you for having me and for having an interest in what I'm up to. So, I mean, I'd say a number of different things inspired me to start a new venture. First and foremost, it was the topic of what I'm doing, which is about children. Having recently become a mom myself, my whole world has changed significantly and been inspired by that in a way that, like, I never could have imagined. And so I'm embracing the complete change, that my son has had on my life by giving myself permission to try new things and so starting a new business, you know, dedicated to children and parents, for that respect, you know, parent resources as well, was the biggest piece of it. And then also just because I've been looking for, I guess, a change, the timing of things happen in an interesting way, you know. I've been kind of known as like the horse girl or the horse woman for most of my life because I've strived to be that person. I've loved horses for so long, and the businesses that I had early on were dedicated to horses and helping people and partnership with horses and, you know, everything horse themed. I was effectively that, you know, horse crazy little girl and just never grew out of that phase. And the past couple of years I've been realizing like that's true and that's been wonderful, but I'm also more than horses. And so I've been wanting to kind of consciously shift and expand my own experience of what I do on a day-to-day basis and shift, you know, everything that goes along with that. So, you know, showing myself and others that I'm more than horses, and especially now that I have a tiny little human in my own life who's become a very big part of it. That's what has been my driving force here.
I saw online that you know, you had found yourself reading a lot of books with your son and purchasing a lot of books. And so your new business is focused on books. I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about kind of how you started to notice that and then decided to really make that leap into deciding to do that really full books.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sure. So education has been a passion of mine for as long as I can remember, and an interesting passion. Like, I was a child who struggled in the beginning, not so much with education specifically, but curiously enough with reading. I was sort of very analytical, and so learning phonetics really was a challenge for me. And my poor mom had to deal with, you know, me being upset to the point of tears, trying to understand why we use, you know, a P and an H together when there's a perfectly good S that makes the same sound. And why are there silent letters? And why are there all of these things? And so, you know, reading was a real challenge for me early on. And I was kind of stubborn about that. And it took a while for me to get into appreciating the beauty of stories. I always loved having stories read to me, but being able to read them myself was a bit of a challenge until it wasn't. And then it unlocked this whole world of independence and creativity and inspiration for me. So I have loved books. I've become, you know, a lifelong learner to the, like, I actually completed a PhD, which was, you know, literally mountains of books was my life for quite a long time while I was doing the research there. And then when my son was born, I decided that, you know, books had been such an important part of my life, both, you know, a challenge that I overcame early on and then a wonderful gift, that I wanted them to be something for him that I could share with him. But I also wanted to be specific about the books that he shared. Actually, my mom had held on to many, many books, childhood books that she, like my little library as a child, that she gave to me to share with him. And as I was reading many of these old children's stories, I really didn't appreciate the messages that were in them. I felt that they were quite outdated and not teaching the lessons that I wanted to teach my child in terms of just social skills and emotional responsibility and things like, you know, inclusion and diversity and those sorts of things. Those themes were just kind of missing. And so I talked to some other moms in the area and did some research and stumbled upon this sweet little independent book publisher, children's book publisher called Barefoot Books. And they are effectively my soulmate in book publisher form, if that could exist, because their focus is on, you know, diverse, inclusive, inspiring books. And they have crafted and curated stories that are about showing children different cultures around the world and, you know, teaching them just the basics of different languages and showing kids through the power of story, you know, that differences can be celebrated and we are all more alike than we are different. And just really, really beautiful messages like that, as well as fostering things like, you know, empowered girls and themes on STEM and math and like everything that I could possibly want as a mom to share with my children is in this book publisher. And so I did. I found myself, you know, going through their catalog of stories and learning games, and this, like, I wanted everything for my own son and for every child and family that I know. So I decided, you know, my first step into a new venture is going to be diving into this wholeheartedly and sharing books with children and their families.
That's an amazing story. And I like, it's really interesting that, you know, when you think about you're reading these books to your child and you noticed a shift in the way that we tell stories over the years. And it's something I've been, exploring myself too with this podcast and with the Amplify site. And I mean, as you know, one of the things I've been exploring is gender and how we talk about it, how it gets framed both in the media and in the stories we tell ourselves. So I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about when you first became aware of gender.
I think that's a really great question. So, because honestly, I don't remember a specific moment or time. I think tacitly, I probably became aware of gender very early, but in a way that maybe I don't want to say it was completely unique. I'm sure many people had similar experiences to me, but not such a stereotypical way, I guess, because I was raised by a single mom and she did everything. So there weren't those stereotypical mother, father, man, woman gender roles for me growing up that we see, you know, in many of those old stories and TV shows and all those things that were at least very prevalent when I was growing up. So for me, my mom was both mom and dad. She did everything that needed to be done. You know, she changed the tires on our car when they needed to be changed, and she brushed my hair and, you know, like anything and everything she did. And so for me, there was no specific difference between what men and women can and should do or what, you know, traditionally they did. I didn't witness that as a young girl. So that's probably why I don't actually remember when I became aware of it. I think I was also very fortunate because I was quite empowered as a young girl to by my mom. She made a conscious effort to teach me to believe that I could be or do anything that I wanted to. And it was more about my determination and attitude that would be the limitations that I faced, not sort of outside elements. And I believed that to be true because that's what she taught me. And so for the most part, that became my reality. And I think it wasn't until I was probably a young adult, to be honest, where I started to realize that that wasn't the same reality for other people. And that gender was this thing that had been or currently was an issue for some people. And so it was a little bit confusing to me that it even was a thing. I mean, from a heartbreaking perspective. And then I was able to, you know, look back on my life at the prompt of this question from you, actually, when I was thinking about this, that there are certainly experiences that I've had where I could realize that I was experiencing gender issues myself earlier on. I just remained kind of oblivious to them because it wasn't something that I had been taught to think about for better or for worse, you know? I guess I was a little bit naively blissful naivety, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure this is making great sense, but
that does make sense. But do you think that that helped you, that in some ways unawareness of it? Like, were you able to, when you thought you might be experiencing it, did that, those many years of really not even really thinking or needing to think that it was a thing, did it help you in the long run, do you think?
I think it did. Yeah, I absolutely think it did. And because whenever there was a situation where, you know, it was a particular issue, I would have a little bit of, like, a kind of deer in the headlights confusion as to like what is happening right now and why is this happening? This doesn't make sense, you know? And so for that reason, I think, you know, I was able to move through it. It's like, this isn't about me. This is clearly about the other person or other people in the situation. And so this is interesting. Like I can kind of look at it as an outside observer instead of feeling like I was a part of it.
Yeah. So kind of taking a lens of curiosity about the whole situation.
Yeah.
And do you think we need to still be talking about gender?
I absolutely do. I think gender is something that needs to be talked about until it becomes a redundant non-issue. And I think we need to have more prompts to talk about it and that invite us to think about it for ourselves. I guess that's kind of why I'm such a big fan of books, because I think, or at least for me anyway, stories and books invite us to think about ideas. For me anyway, it is kind of on a deeper level than we can sometimes think about things in conversation, at least conversation, you know, on the spot. It has been my experience that books let us have those conversations privately and between our hearts and our own heads, you know, and have those conversations within ourselves that invite us to really explore our feelings and beliefs and kind of prompt us to question why we think certain ways about things and why we believe what we do in sort of the safety of ourselves before we have those conversations with other people and those interpersonal exchanges. I feel like having been prompted to think about things and figure out what I think for myself or what I don't know or don't yet understand helps give me some confidence to have a respectful and curious conversation with other people about the same topic.
Yeah, I like that. And I agree with you. I've always been a huge reader too. And it does give you that chance to reflect for yourself. And I like what you said about Barefoot books too, focusing on diversity and inclusion and emotional responsibility, social skills. Like, and I think that obviously gender doesn't sit outside of all of those things. It's really a part of it. And so I think it's really amazing that this business that you've partnered with is you both are focusing on, you know, how do we have these conversations with our children at their formative stage so that hopefully they can approach these things with curiosity as well. Is there anything that's true that you feel like you've learned, I guess, in the last few months that you've been applying?
Oh my goodness. Yes. that's such a great question. So becoming a mom for me has taught me, it's a little bit cliche, but, you know, never say never. And change is really the only constant that exists in our lives. And
isn't that true?
You know, and I'd heard those things before and I thought that I had learned them, but this past year, the impact of those lessons has like completely hit me with the full force of what they mean. And I've actually been able to begin integrating them consciously, or at least trying to integrate them consciously into my life. So, you know, I guess it kind of comes back to what I mentioned earlier about part of why I decided to try this new venture is nothing had inspired me to step outside my comfort zone more than my son, just by virtue of him being alive. Was very different, a very different experience for me than anything I had expected, because confession here, I never thought I wanted to be pregnant, and I never thought I was a baby person. Even when I was pregnant, I had wanted to be pregnant, but not until I did, you know, all my childhood, I didn't want to be pregnant until something shifted in me, and then I did. And then when I was pregnant, I was really still scared that, you know, I didn't know how I was going to handle this mom thing. I knew I loved my baby before he was born, but I wasn't sure I was going to like him. That sounds horrible to say, but you know, it's the truth. And so, you know, I'm a big believer that we need to be honest about how we feel. So
yeah,
that's why I admit these probably very awkward things to admit. And to the point where, you know, my mom, my own mom, somewhat teased me and somewhat, you know, half seriously said that she was going to bring like fuzzy blankets to wrap around my baby when he was born, because I've always been an avid animal lover. And she said, you know, you'll like him a lot if he's fuzzy like a puppy or a kitten. And so, you know, she didn't have to do that. You know, he was born and instantly I was like completely head over heels for him. And then every single day since, I have realized that, you know, again and again, I don't recognize my life today from what I thought it was going to be and what I was trying to make it become many years ago. And even, you know, not so many years ago, my life is completely different and so much richer than what I had been so determinedly trying to create for myself. And I wouldn't have ever gotten to experience these joys if I stayed stubborn in my belief that at one point in my life, I thought I never wanted to be pregnant. I never wanted to, you know, experience having a baby in my family. And if I allow myself to stay rigid in that belief that, you know, I believe that once, so it must have to stay true forever, I'd be missing out on this. And I'm realizing now, like, I can't imagine my life any differently. And so that's become my challenge to myself to truly, you know, like embrace the change and never say never, and to push myself continually outside my comfort zone to try new things and to be okay with failing, even when that's really uncomfortable. But that's also where, at least in my experience, the greatest joys have come in my life has been the unexpected ones. And so I keep trying to push myself to be allowed to try new things. And because I kind of caught myself in this habit of when I would be invited to try new things, be they food or games or activities that I had previously not enjoyed or maybe even not tried, I would just say like, oh no, I'm not interested. I don't like that. And that was really just a cover for me being afraid of what the experience might be, the newness of it. And so I've decided to try to push myself out of that habit. And it's not easy to do, but it's been really rewarding, you know, to catch myself and be like, actually, you know what? I didn't used to like that, but that might not still be true. So I'll give it a shot again. And sometimes I still don't like those things. And sometimes, much to my delight, I discover that, oh no, I actually enjoy this now. This is actually a really wonderful experience. And now I have that new thing that's part of my life because I'm always changing, or at least I hope to always be changing. I think that's kind of what life is about, you know, growth and development and learning. And so that's what I'm doing for this new venture. And I think there's, you know, wonderful layers of metaphor there. And the fact that it's about books and it's about children's books, and books that parents can share with their children, because it's all about learning and exploring the world together and growing, and not just helping little people grow, but helping ourselves to follow in the footsteps of these little people who have, you know, a blank slate, you know, eyes wide open of what the future can hold. They don't yet know what gender is about, you know, for example. Like, I didn't know that it was a thing until later in my life when I learned that it was. And so I think, you know, these little people have as much to teach us as we have to share with them, so we can learn together. And I think stories is a wonderful place to do that. So that's why I've picked what I have picked for moving forward.
Yeah, and it sounds like a lot of really approaching, I mean, your own growth and development with some curiosity, which I agree is hard, because it's sometimes I feel like, at least for me, I set these goals and then you know, you hear these conflicting messages, maybe externally, but also internally. It's like, oh, I got to head down, pursue this, at, you know, at all costs. But then at the same time, how do you also be open to learning about, you know, is this the right way for me? And how do we get okay with that? And, you know, to your point, learn from kids who have less of that. I don't know what the word would be, but just baggage or bias or barriers to curiosity. Yeah. And they're just so curious about everything.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And they notice things like obvious similarities and differences, but not from the, not with the lens of good or bad or better or worse, just same and different, and the how interesting that is, and how I think, I mean, this is putting, you know, words in mouths of babes who maybe aren't even speaking yet, but just, you know, same and difference is makes the whole picture more interesting. I mean, just watching my own son, when he's playing with toys, he notices things that are similar about certain toys and different about others. And it's not that he gravitates towards one or the other, but he's interested in all of them. And I think what makes it interesting are those differences. And so it's like, we need to appreciate both similarities and differences in order to enjoy the wholeness of our experience. And so for him, you know, it's just toys right now, but we can, as adults, take that as a metaphor for larger things and themes in our life. You know, similarities and differences don't have to be comfort and uncomfort, or like familiar and scary unknown. That's just, it's the beauty of diversity, and you know, mm-hmm. it creates sort of the color and flavor of our experiences.
Yeah, for sure. Just when you were talking about that, I was thinking, you know, it must be interesting as a parent to think about how you have these conversations at home. I'm not sure how to ask this, but like, how do you plan when he goes out to school, or, you know, mm-hmm. things like that? How will you continue to have those conversations about that diversity and difference and inclusion and all those types of things?
That's a really good question. And it's an issue that I really take to heart. You know, I think it's one of the biggest weighted responsibilities for me of becoming a parent, and because it matters. And I don't know what the right way to go about this is, but in thinking about my own childhood and having talked to many people over the years about their experiences, it's become clear to me that a lot of what we have learned about things like gender and what those rules are and what's okay and what's not okay and why it's sometimes awkward to talk about or to deal with is because we've learned those things from the grown-ups in our lives. And it's not like we've been taught to feel kind of awkward about talking about things like gender. And I don't mean explicitly. I don't think parents are going around saying, feel awkward about gender. I think, you know, it's more yeah. passionate than that. We're taught to feel awkward kind of as that byproduct of mm-hmm. childhood politeness training, you know? And so it's a tough one, because respect is a really important thing for me. It's one of my personal values and something that I want my children to learn, how to be respectful people, but equally so how to be respectful of themselves. So I think our kids learn from what we say, but I think they learn even more by observing what we do. Mm-hmm. And so being a good model of that is important to me. And that is part of why I've tried to adopt this new perspective of, you know, trying new things and exploring new things and not just automatically putting up a wall or a barrier when I feel uncomfortable about something, but to get curious about it and to explore and to ask questions and to try. So I'm hoping to be able to model that for my children. But again, it's a combination, I think, my strategy, and it will hopefully likely evolve over the years as I, you know, gain experience as a mom. I'm only, you know, a little over a year into this gig. But having conversations and making, you know, our home and myself a safe space for my son, and if we have, you know, other children in the future, them too, but that any topic is okay and we can talk about it and to share, be honest, like, because I think kids sense when their parents or grown-ups are uncomfortable about a certain topic. So you, even if they don't, and you know, you, even if we as grown-ups don't admit that to the kids, the kids are pretty smart. Like, they pick up.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So I think it's important to be honest about that awkwardness with our kids and use that as an opportunity to explore, you know, why do we feel awkward, and is that, you know, necessary, and how can we feel differently about it? And so just being honest with my kids about my own feelings and my own, the things that I have learned and the things that I want to maybe unlearn, and getting curious about that with them will be important. And then again, you know, when I can't always think of things. And so the thing that has prompted me to remember important things to talk about with my kiddo, who's only just learning words now himself, but I think, you know, he understands so many words, even if he's not speaking them yet himself. But it's been books. It's been, at night we read, through the day we read two, but every night before bed we share a story time. And he picks the book and he runs to the chair and we read it. And there, as we read through the book, I'll ask him questions, even if he's not ready to answer things yet. You know, we're talking about important life themes in simple terms, mind you, because he's just itty bitty, but we're talking about them now. And so it's becoming a norm for him. And hopefully that will be useful to him. I think it will. It's an intentional strategy, but we'll see, you know, and I like to learn from other parents as I'm going through this as well. So, yeah, I guess my answer is I'm not sure. I'm figuring it out. And having exactly as we've been talking about right now, is having those conversations and staying curious is I guess the plan.
Yeah, I think that's a great strategy because he's already curious about it. And I feel like gender, but also all these other topics, are so polarizing in the media today. And it's just, I've just been really spending a lot of time thinking about how do we talk about them, because it does feel like, you know, it's so hard to talk about a difficult subject with someone, and people immediately go to the defensive, and I found myself there before too. And then it's kind of like, I like that you've used the word prompt. It's like, how do you find your own prompt to say, how do I get curious about what I'm feeling right now and why I'm acting this way, so that you can open back up to curiosity and really hear the other person's perspective and use that as a point for learning, which is not always easy.
No, it's not. It takes a conscious effort to shift out of like ego space, which is where we all automatically go, into one of like, no, I want to use this for, if not collective, you know, growth, at least my own. And, oftentimes easier said than done, but I think well worth the effort.
Yeah. What do you think has been your greatest stage of growth?
I think I continue to find myself in a new greatest stage of growth sort of each day.
Which is awesome.
But yeah, I mean, more generally, it has been becoming a mom because it was such a monumental shift for me, for my entire world. You know, people say or told me while I was pregnant, like I lost count of how many times people will say, you know, everything changes when you have a baby, or having a baby changes everything. And I think, like, of course, because then I'll have a baby. But then I gave birth, and immediately I was hit with this, like, oh, everything changed. Like, every single thing has now changed. I have changed. You know, my whole life is no longer my own, and I couldn't be happier about that. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of moments on a daily basis where I feel like I want to pull my hair out. But at the end of the day, I can't imagine returning to who I was before I became a mom, or experiencing life without this tiny human who, even this morning, was a tiny tyrant. You know, and the experience of feeling so much love for another human who is right now completely dependent on me, but also completely irrational as he's growing and learning and exploring new things. I mean, he had a whole meltdown because I wouldn't let him pull my hair. And so it was really interesting for me, as I kind of, now that he's napping, kind of step back out of that situation and look at myself and realize, like, this tiny person wasn't intentionally trying to hurt me. It was just sort of like he enjoyed the texture of my hair and he wanted to experience that. But I was setting a boundary and saying, no, that's not comfortable for me. So, you know, please respect this. And he didn't want to, because he's a little human and he hadn't been told no very many times, you know? And so it was like this whole exchange, and he was getting very upset with it. And I was at peace with the situation, you know, because I wasn't taking it personally what he was doing, but I was consistent in saying, like, no, this isn't something that I'm enjoying. So I'm going to say stop. And it's okay that you're upset about it. I understand that you're upset, and let's, you know, work together to try to find something else that can entertain or soothe or calm you, but it can't be pulling my hair. And so, because he's still at the place of being irrational, like it, he was very, very upset. And it was a great experience for me to learn and remind myself that it's okay for other people to be upset. Mm-hmm. It's not our responsibility to take on the discomfort so that they are not uncomfortable, you know? And this is not just true for tiny humans. This is true for every person I believe in our life. And it was a great lesson for me, because that is a habit of mine, is to be willing to, like, to experience a situation and realize that someone wants something that is uncomfortable for me in whatever way, whether it's added workload or anything, even, you know, like an inappropriate comment or something like that. And if it makes me uncomfortable, my habit, my go-to, is to kind of laugh it off or just grin and bear it and push ahead instead of confronting it head on, and saying, like, well, actually, this is not okay for me. So let's do this a different way. Or let's not do that at all, kind of thing. And so I'm learning, even with this tiny person in my life, that in trying to teach him to be a respectful little boy, I'm teaching myself, or reminding myself, how to be self-respecting in order to share with him what I believe to be healthy boundaries are. And so I think that's been a great aha moment of today, kind of a theme of what motherhood has been for me, is, you know, sometimes situations are uncomfortable, and that's okay, because that's where growth and learning happens. And no, I don't like to see my little boy cry, but if that's what's necessary for him to learn an important life lesson, then it's okay. And I can comfort him through those tears, and I can, I think, do him the best possible service, teach him the best possible thing to be okay with being uncomfortable, because I think that's where growth happens, you know. And so if we're never, or if we're protected or insulated from feeling uncomfortable, then the feeling uncomfortable becomes even more uncomfortable, and we try to resist it or avoid it, when I think really maybe the better strategy is to teach ourselves through practice to get comfortable with the uncomfortable thing, in that, you know, like self-respect or just uncomfortable emotions. Like it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to be frustrated. We just have to work through them and try different things to figure out what is okay. But we have to move through the uncomfortable things instead of around them. I think avoiding them, at least in my experience, has led to more discomfort than anything else.
Yeah. I like that theme of kind of moving through it rather than around it. And I would say that's what you're also doing with Barefoot Books, right? Because it's like some of those topics are things that we don't necessarily know how to talk about, but it's giving us tools to work through that discomfort so that we can grow and form new opinions. And I think at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about.
It is. It absolutely is. And I think, you know, relationships matter, and that's where change really happens in terms of the theme of what you're doing with this podcast and your work with Amplified, you know, in having conversations about important topics and getting curious about, you know, why things maybe are issues at all, and do they always need to be, and how do we make them maybe not issues anymore? Yeah. I think it comes down to, in order to make something that is currently an issue no longer an issue, that requires some significant changes. And in the case of gender, I mean, gender issues are generations old and multicultural issues. So
yeah,
that's a significant thing to change. And so for me, maybe it sounds cliche, but like I genuinely believe the path to positive change is made, you know, with the footprints of our children. And it's those sort of relationships with tiny humans, innocent beings, the ones who are going to inherit, you know, the world from us, that inspire us to be better. Yeah, and to do better. And they're the ones who show us possible new paths that we might not have seen before. You know, so I think teaching children how to think differently, you know, really education is the key here. Teaching them how to think differently, how to stay open-minded, is both wonderful for them in creating their own futures as whole little people. And I think it's also the best way forward for the rest of us who are truly following in their footsteps. You know, we're going to be inspired to change because of them. And our hearts are more open when we're in the presence of little people than maybe they are when we're in the presence of others. And so, you know, their curiosity can inspire in us a willingness to broaden our perspectives, even if it's just for a moment. And that's where, I think that's where shift happens. I think it happens in families first.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so I think kiddos are kind of important. And I think helping them, you know, stay curious and learn well and be inspired matters. And that's why I've started what I've started. And Barefoot Books is the company, it's the name of the publisher, and Barefoot Families, because I think it's about the family, is what I'm calling mine. So, yeah.
And where can people find you online?
Just barefootfamilies.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for the conversation today, Christy. It was really feel like I learned a lot even about thinking, you know, how do we remain open, and what are the prompts to keep asking ourselves these questions, and, you know, how do we kind of challenge ourselves to grow and really pay attention to the things that we find rewarding. So thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you so much for the prompt to share, to think about these things and to talk about them. I really appreciate being included in this work that you're doing, Vanessa. I think it's beautiful, and I can't wait to see what you do next.
Wow. Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I really enjoyed listening back to it, and I think I took more out of it the second time than I did while I was having the conversation. Oh, there was just so many great takeaways. I mean, one of the big ones I took a note about was how gender is really generational and multicultural, and it's something that is changing, and it's changing all the time. We do have to be intentional about it, and it's okay to talk about difficult things. It's okay for it to not be easy. I think to layer onto that, change is the only constant, as we heard Christy remind us. And sometimes that's hard to acknowledge. Sometimes it's hard because change feels not fast enough. And sometimes it's hard because change feels too fast. For me, this conversation was a chance to prompt my own deeper thinking as to when change feels too fast or too slow. What is it about my own perspective that's making that feel true? I'd love to hear your thoughts on the episode. Hope you join me over at amplified.blog. And if you're liking these episodes, I hope you'll consider subscribing on iTunes and leaving us a review. Thanks again, and looking forward to seeing you in episode 7. Talk soon.